We've learned that there was a terrorist attack in Moscow, and Medvedev has said that if Ukrainian officials were involved in these terrorist attacks, they will be mercilessly destroyed. And do you find this terrorist attack as the same as we have been witnessing during this conflict with Daria Dugina? Do you see this as a terrorist attack linked to Ukrainians?
I think it's highly likely that it is Ukraine for one reason. Within an hour, hour and a half of this incident happening, the U.S. State Department came out and issued the following. They said, "This was not Ukraine." How in the hell do they know that? Think about it. We still don't know what particular types of weapons and explosives were used in the attack. We don't know how many attackers there were. We still don't know how many were killed and wounded. And yet the State Department knows that it was not Ukraine. So the earlier today, maybe it was late last night, there is one of the, I call it the CIA sponsored open source intelligence propaganda site, OSINT Defender. You know, they've always been sort of a mouthpiece for the intelligence community. They put out the following. Members, and I'm quoting now, members of U.S. National Security Council and the White House have reportedly started to become increasingly frustrated by, quote, unauthorized brazen actions, end quote, taken by Ukraine against Russia, including the recent campaign of long-range drone strikes having targeted at least 25 sites, and it goes on. Well, the fact that that's getting put out now through this CIA front, that's what I believe it is a sign that the wheels are coming off the policy in Ukraine. That I think it is highly likely that the Ukrainian intelligence sources or affiliates carried this attack out in Moscow. They may have been previously trained by the United States, when particularly by the CIA, may have had prior association with the CIA. But you know, we've got one more problem here. On March 7th, just a little over 2 weeks ago, the U.S. Embassy in Moscow and the British Embassy in Moscow both put out warnings to their citizens to say, stay away from public places in Moscow. There was going to be terrorist attacks. Stay away from concerts. And Maria Zakharova, the press spokeswoman for the foreign ministry, the Russian foreign ministry, she said on March 8th, if there is a terrorist attack, we're going to hold Washington and London responsible, that they will have been seen as involved with it. So that's what makes this so very, very serious. This has now the potential to really spin out of control and to escalate beyond anything that we've seen. At a minimum, if the you know the Russians are going to have to first prove that who the culprits were and determine did they or did they not have any ties to Ukraine. It's just I'm fascinated by this one report leaking saying that the Biden White House and National Security Team are really worried about Ukraine and brazen acts that they're I don't taking these unauthorized acts that aren't approved by the West. 2 weeks on the heels of this warning. Now, understand one thing about these warnings that when they come out of the embassy, because I used to that was one of the things my office was involved with. I was heavily involved because this was in the aftermath of the bombing of Panem 103, and there was the belief that the U.S. government knew that bombing was going to take place and only warned U.S. government employees, didn't warn average Americans. Well, that wasn't true, but that was the perception. So when we got intelligence information that indicated a terrorist attack was imminent, first determination was, is it specific and is it credible? So, you know, if it said, oh, sometime in March, this group, let's put a name to it, is going to attack a concert somewhere in Moscow. Well, that's not, and we judge that it's from a very credible source. That's not the kind of specificity that you get that will allow you to actually deter or stop it, or means you have to identify every concert that's going to take place in March and then go stake out security teams and other and take other security measures to protect and defend. So when the CIA, when the U.S. State Department through its embassy in Moscow put out that warning to the public, that means they had what they considered to be fairly specific information and credible. Now, what we don't know is, did they pass it to the Russians? Normally, that's how this would be handled. That if we had information that there was going to be a terrorist attack inside Moscow against a particular venue, we would then provide that information to the Russian intelligence services, the FSB, and then let the Russians take care of it. I'd note that that's what Russia did to us a year before the Boston Marathon bombing, maybe it was 2 years before, when they alerted the FBI to the antics of the elder Sarnyev brother, noting that he was running with terrorist circles in Chechnya and that they should keep an eye on him. Of course, the FBI completely dropped the ball on that and failed to follow up. But just the fact that this warning came out, and now 2 weeks later, you get this terrorist attack. Give me some questions to answer. Who knew what? When did they know it? How did they know it?
If they found something about that, they have been linked to Ukrainians. Do you think they're going to be patient, as we saw during those terrorist attacks on Daria Dugina and that journalist, that gentleman, I don't remember his name.
Yeah, no, I don't see Russia reacting emotionally. You know, they're not going to just start swinging wildly and hitting everything. They're going to be very precise in what they hit. I think it is increasingly likely that they're going to go after more of the headquarters of the intelligence and security services, and even, you know, there's reports about 12 CIA bases in Ukraine. I'm sure the Russians have located those. They'll start blowing those up too. If they establish that this terrorist attack was linked in any way to Ukrainians and or people trained by the CIA.
Larry, do you think that these people who were trained by CIA, do you think are getting out of the control of CIA and the United States?
I mean, that's the report today out from this, like I said, the CIA front group. When they say they're frustrated by unauthorized brazen actions, that means Ukrainians are doing their own thing and not necessarily listening to the CIA.
If that was the case for the case of Afghanistan, that there is no link anymore. But right now, they are totally linked with the government in Kiev, and how they can get out of the control of CIA or Washington.
Well, they're still, you know, they're still Ukrainian nationals, and the CIA, whatever presence it has, there is foreigners. So, you know, it's not like we got these people on a chain and with a gun to their head. You know, part of it's designed to be a professional working relationship. But I think clearly in this case, the Ukrainians have, you know, sent the message, they're going to do what they feel like they need to do. And if we don't like it, too bad.
The way you picture this terrorist attack, I think if that was the case, Ukraine has committed a suicide.
Yeah. No, this, look, we've been seeing since the fall of Avdiivka 4 weeks ago, we've seen the Russians go on the offensive all along that 1,200 kilometer front, and they're pushing forward. They're really, I think, going to clear the Donetsk, the Donbass area of Donetsk, within the next 3 to 4 weeks. And so once Donetsk is secure, they've now got Luhansk secure, Donetsk is secure. The next stop will be Kharkov and Kherson and Zaporizhia. Get those settled, get the Ukrainian troops expelled out of those. It's still possible that some Islamic extremists, because Russia has had a problem with Islamic extremists in the past, carried out this attack. Friday night, though, you know, doing this kind of thing during Ramadan is sort of not typical of these Muslim extremists. I see Russia taking steps to hit headquarters elements of both the Ministry of Interior and the Ministry of Intelligence in Ukraine in the aftermath of this.
The head of the NATO military committee said that NATO is ready for a possible conflict with Russia. What's behind these type of allegations?
He's talking through his hat. He might as well, he's just, you know, use another colloquial expression, blowing smoke. There's nothing of substance behind it. In the last 5 months, we've had two reports out from the U.S. General Accounting Office about the readiness of the F-35 fifth generation fighter jet aircraft. That has become the principal aircraft that has been sold to the Brits and to the French, to the Germans. It's supposed to be the best plane out there. Well, what the General Accounting Office audit found was that the readiness level of the F-35 is only 50%. In other words, for every two aircraft, only one of them is going to be ready to fly and operable for a possible combat mission. So already right there, you're at 50% short. And they report that they're more expensive to maintain than they thought, and they break easier than had been originally envisioned. And then I have firsthand information from a friend of mine who works at one of the U.S. Air Force bases where an F-35 contingent is. And he told me they are two-thirds. They only have one-third of the aircraft they're supposed to have. One-third. The other two-thirds is locked up at Lockheed Martin contractor. They're trying to get the software bugs fixed. Now, my point in relating this whole long story is just to illustrate how wrong this admiral is, who claimed that, oh yeah, NATO's ready to go toe-to-toe with Russia. No, it's not. NATO can't even produce enough firearms, enough artillery shells to keep the Ukrainians sufficiently supplied to fire back at NATO or at the Russians. And then say nothing of having to manufacture artillery barrels, because all the shells they had put through these 155 millimeter artillery pieces in the past have burned out the barrels. So, you know, they've got problems on multiple levels.
Larry, the other thing that he said was urging Ukrainians to mobilize more people for this conflict. And we heard that Lindsey Graham was talking about changing the law in Ukraine to send younger people to the battleground as well. And this is the same message coming from the West. How capable is Ukraine today to do this?
They're not. You know, changing the law, my understanding is they've already previously could have drafted 18, 19, 20-year-olds. But that's not the problem Ukraine faces. because a lot of those 18 through 21, 22 year olds are dead. Dead or wounded. So it's created a real threat to the future population of Ukraine. Can Ukraine remain a viable state, or is it just going to grow old and die with no not enough people, young people having babies to replace the old people dying off? So it's just it's ludicrous to talk like that. They've already reported in Ukraine they got a problem with too many guys over the age of 43, guys in their 50s and 60s. They have no business being in the army fighting like this, and they're proving not to be very good. They lack the physical stamina, the physical strength.
The Ukrainian Secretary of National Security and Defense Council, Danilov, he said that next 3 to 4 months will be very hard for Ukraine. When he's talking about this, he's referring to mobilization. He's referring to the aid that's coming from the West in support of their fight against Russia. He's talking about the political situation in Ukraine, that we've seen that there are a lot of conflicts within the Zelensky administration. Yeah. How do you find his statement?
Well, I think he's being optimistic. I think it's worse than what he's saying. The chaos that's in the government is certainly going to increase. So Zelensky, you know, I noted this, observed the other day, that in the aftermath of Putin's election, Zelensky is out saying, oh, that's an illegal election. This is not, you can't respect that result. This coming from a guy who's canceled his elections, which he's constitutionally obligated to hold. I believe it's in May, and he's already canceled it. He's not going to do that. This from the guy who's closed down opposition parties, opposition press, locked away political opponents. No, the corruption and hypocrisy with Zelensky in this is just it's staggering. It is massive.
The head of intelligence, Russian intelligence, was talking about that French will send 20,000 soldiers to Ukraine. And when they're talking about this, we can assume the same thing for other countries, for Poland, for Germany. They may think of this. And do you think in their mind, these 2,000 people would change anything on the battlefield?
Well, clearly they do, and it's delusional. Macron apparently believes it. I don't let them put in 200,000 French troops. They don't have it. But let's just assume they can put them in. Russians are going to kill them too. Because if the French show up, are they going to bring their own air force? Well, let's hope they do, and that they have their pilots, and that then they're capable of staying in the air more than one or two missions before the Russians shoot them down. So then they're without air power. Then it's not like they're going back in with a stockpile of artillery ammunition. They're already short on that. They don't even have enough to last probably a week or two if they got into firing at the rates like the Ukrainians have been firing, or the Russians for that matter. It makes no sense. Where are the artillery pieces? Assuming that they did have artillery shells to put through them. Where are the tanks that have been blown up repeatedly by the Russians? So what are the French going to do? They haven't learned their lesson in 200 years, 212 years to be precise. 1812, Napoleon invaded. He got all the way to Moscow. Then Moscow was set on fire, and Napoleon and his troops tried to get away, and they spent the next, month, 2 months, just getting the hell beat out of them by a pursuing Russian army that then subsequently marched into Paris some years later, a few years later. They never learn. They never learn. The arrogance of the French, it's legit.
Larry, Jake Sullivan was trying to convince Ukrainians that Russia has already failed in achieving its objectives in Ukraine. He said that two things that he mentioned was that Russia was trying to wipe Ukraine off the map, and the other thing was Russia was trying to crush the democratically elected president of Ukraine. And do you find any of these objectives as the real objectives of Russia in this conflict? And if not, why he's trying to put out such statements?
Well, he's trying to put the best spin possible on an increasingly desperate situation. Russia's been very clear what it wants: to denazify, which means to eliminate from the leadership positions within the Ukrainian government, including the Ukrainian parliament, all adherents of the Nazi belief. I think that's a legitimate goal. The Nazism's pernicious. Then he talked about demilitarizing Ukraine and eliminating the ability of Ukraine to launch attacks against Russia and sustain attacks. Little did Putin know when they started off with that, that they were going to, I guess, demilitarize NATO in the process, render NATO incapable of sustaining an actual modern war. So, those two objectives, I don't think, have changed for Putin at all. Denazification, demilitarization, and Kiev is going to fall one way or another.
You've mentioned the casualties on the part of Ukrainians. We have seen an article in the Washington Post talking about that there are Ukrainian villages with no men left. And right. At the same time, we've seen that there a Polish general, Raymond Andrzejczak, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, I don't know. And
yeah, no, lots of consonants in his name.
Exactly. It's so difficult to pronounce his name. This Polish general is saying that the casualties on the part of Ukrainians should be counted in millions, not hundreds of thousands. Mm-hmm. Do you think he's exaggerating the casualties, or it's close to the reality of the battleground?
Well, I think when he's lumping in casualties, those who are also immigrants, migrants that have fled, so they're refugees outside the country. I think if you include them, that's how many have died. I think the killed and wounded figure combined for Ukraine is well over 1 million, closer probably to 1.5 million. But we'll find out after the war. We may not find out while this thing is still raging.
Lloyd Austin said Putin will not stop at Ukraine, but Ukraine can stop Putin if we stand with Ukraine and provide the weapons it needs. He says that Ukraine's survival is on the line and all of our security is on the line. How we can connect these two things together?
Yeah, well, he does, but it's not going to change a thing. Even if the money gets to Ukraine, as we noted in the earlier discussion about manpower, the Rada, the Ukrainian legislature, has not passed a bill authorizing the mobilization and who gets mobilized, how long, what do they get paid, all of that. That's still up in the air. So until they get that settled, they're not going to be able to do anything on the mobilization front. And the Rada is showing no urgency to get it done here in the next day or two or week. So they're at a stalemate. And yeah, it's true. Ukraine's losing territory. The Russians are moving forward each day and to capturing new villages. But this is not so much a war of conquest of territory to say, oh yeah, we win because we got 80% of your territory. No, it is it's to be in a position where you eliminate external threats to you, and you assume that you've got the friendliest government possible on your border with what currently houses Ukraine.
Alternative for Germany. He, uh-huh. The leader of this party, was talking about that we have to start our relationship with Russia. We have to start working on Nord Stream pipeline. How do you see Germany today? Do you see any chance of this party winning in the future?
Yeah, well, I think AfD has definitely become a player, and they are reflecting the growing frustration among German voters with the policies of the Green Party, especially with Scholz and Annalena Baerbock. You know, they're just, I think the German people, a goodly number, are just fed up. They're angry. They're not going to put up with it anymore. They're going to get changed one way or another. So, and I know, you know, Germany right now is host to U.S. bases, both for, you know, what they call European Command Base and the Africa Command. And one of those bases, I've just heard, is just flooded with foreign contractors, U.S. contractors, U.S. personnel. It looks like we're getting ready to do something significant in Ukraine. Can't leave well enough alone.